Abby Bonner, and you're listening to Community Voices right here on NPR Illinois. Today, I am talking to Russ Friedwald, founder and head writer of Trivia Workshop. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. So jumping right in, I know we're all anxious to learn more about you. So if you don't mind telling us, you know, where you're from and what you kind of do now.
Well, I'm from Springfield. I have been in the IT business for about 25 years, but about 20 years ago, I got into as a kind of a side hustle, running trivia events around town, mostly for fundraisers. Then about 10 years ago or so, we started doing like a pub quiz bar trivia sort of event. And that went pretty much until COVID hit. And since COVID hit, we took the show online and we've been doing it ever since. Something we thought would last maybe 2 weeks until, you know, we got back to regular business in April of last year. And here we are still doing it.
Right. You know, I think a lot of people were like that. They thought, oh, maybe we get like a 2 or 3 week break from everything.
Right.
But we're here a year and some change later.
Exactly.
So one thing I'm really curious about is how did you get into trivia? What made you say, I kind of like this?
Good question. Sort of always grew up with it around the house. My parents played Trivial Pursuit when I was a kid and, you know, just playing with my parents and their friends when I was young, and then Scholastic Bowl in high school, and then played a little in college. Trivia nights, as we know them in Central Illinois, really kind of branched out from the St. Louis area as fundraisers for schools, churches, you know, different organizations like that. And then it kind of worked its way up to Central Illinois. And I remember in the mid-90s going to some at Ursuline back then, the KC Halls and things like that. And after about 5 years of playing those, I felt like I could probably run a show myself. So around, you know, the millennium, started running shows myself and kind of just, you know, you pick something that you like to do as a hobby. And if you can make a little money doing it, why not?
Yeah, I love that. That's awesome. And I was just going to say, I think my earliest memory is probably my parents watching Jeopardy and yelling right at each other saying, you know, they knew they had this.
Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Even when I was at home last week, I noticed like my dad was in the front watching Jeopardy and my mom was in the back, you know, painting her nails, watching Jeopardy. And all I hear is like both of the answers and they're yelling different things. And I'm like, you guys need to just go on here.
That's what it's all about. Yeah. Yeah. When everybody feels like they can be a part of it, that's the best feeling, I think. And that's kind of what brings people to not just the live shows, but also the online quiz that we run. You kind of feel like you're on a game show. And when you play with friends, you know, it's kind of the same thing. It's not as fun when you're watching Jeopardy all by yourself at home, because then you don't get to show anything off. You know, you're just kind of yelling the answers out into the air and nobody can hear how smart you are. But if you're playing with friends, you can kind of show how big your brain is. So that's always fun. Or if you're playing with your husband or wife, you know, you get the bragging rights around the house.
Now, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the questions I've always wondered is, at these trivia events, does it ever get ugly? Do you ever get people, you know, about to fight over an answer?
You know, it doesn't get too ugly. I think people have a pretty good spirit about it. But there's definitely a sense of rivalry among some of the regular teams. But we like to think it's a friendly rivalry, especially in the pub quiz shows. Definitely a lot of teams that keep coming back every week. So, you know, you get friendly rivalries built up between those teams, but nothing violent yet, you know, still could happen.
Yeah, we're going to knock on wood on that one. We want good, clean.
That's right. That's right. No Hatfields and McCoys.
Now, what I always wonder is, how are you able to come up with the questions? How does the process work?
Well, if I panned the camera to my left, you would see a stack of notebooks that I've built up over the last 20 years. And just when I get an idea, if I'm in the car or at work or something, and I get an idea for a category, I'll just write down ideas and branch off from there. And, you know, I have scrap paper laying around and just keep notes about different ideas for questions. And then if there's a, if I come up with a question that could be branched out into a category, I'll add that to a database that I have. And then it just builds up from there. I think probably have, 100,000 questions or so by now.
Wow, that's a lot.
But I'm old.
Is there like a specific question or a category that stumps a lot of teams?
It just depends on the environment. I think sports, really, if you're not playing in the right environment, sports can be a real divider because, you know, you either are a diehard sports fan or you're not. And if I ask a bunch of sports questions in the wrong environment, people just look at me with a blank stare. You know, it's like the example, you see the viral video of the Jeopardy category about football, where none of the contestants knew any of the five questions. And they just kind of stared with, you know, blank stares. Well, it can be like that at a trivia event too, trivia event or a pub quiz. So if you, you kind of want to sprinkle things like that in lightly instead of, you know, throwing in 12 sports categories a week. But other than that, you know, I don't do much that's like Russian ballet or, you know, some 18th century opera. You have to kind of understand what the people want to hear. You know, you're not, you won't get people coming back if they get embarrassed or feel stupid every week. So you kind of have to write the questions and figure out the categories based on what you think will make people happy. And, you know, be able to show off their big brains. You have to really kind of trick people into feeling smart sometimes, which is kind of a fun challenge on the writing side.
No, I really understand that. I remember, I was going to tell you, I really enjoyed the trivia event you did for the Office of Advancement at UIS. And right, my team actually won, so shout out to my
Congrats.
Team.
Congratulations, yeah.
But one thing I really enjoyed was that even though I didn't know a lot of like the, you know, a lot of the questions, I will admit, I didn't know. And then some people had their kids there that did Scholastic Bowl, and they knew everything. So
right,
I'm like,
right,
what's wrong with me? But then you did ask a couple of questions where I'm like, no, I know this. Like the one on Fyre Festival, or there was like a question about Rihanna too. So I really right, appreciated having those in there because it made me feel like, oh, I know something.
As long as there are, you know, it's like golf. You can go out, and this is me. I'm terrible at golf, but, you know, I can shoot the ball all over the place all day long. But if I have one or two good shots, it'll keep you coming back. So, you know, you can go, you can play a trivia night and maybe sit around and have fun with your friends, not know much, not answer many questions. But if one or two questions comes up and you're the only person at the table who knows the answer and that makes you feel really smart for 5 minutes, it's kind of an endorphin rush at, keeps you coming back, and you'll come back for the next trivia event. And that's kind of how you build up, you know, a following and get people involved and get people interested in the game.
Yeah, most definitely. So how has the transition been from, you know, hosting most of these fundraisers in person to kind of this COVID-19 virtual thing we're kind of doing? How's that been for you?
For me, it's been fine. It's actually much easier on this end to do the events virtually because, you know, you're not lugging around to do a trivia event fundraiser. Especially, I have to lug around 500 pounds worth of equipment and set up. It takes, you know, an hour and a half or 2 hours to set everything up. I have to drive, I have to print out answer sheets. None of that happens for the online stuff. So I, at this time, I'm very happy with the online stuff, especially as I get older. You know, 20 years ago, it was a lot easier to lug around a PA system and a screen and projectors and computers, everything you need. But now it's kind of like I come down to my office, I turn on the computer, I don't have to print out answer sheets. They submit answers digitally. So, and at the end of the event, I just turn everything off and go upstairs. So right now I can't imagine going back to live events soon. I know that I have to because I have some scheduled, but right now I'm pretty happy in the basement. So it's not too bad. As far as the playing experience, you know, I think it's probably better in person because the attraction is hanging out with your friends, having a good time, getting out of the house is nice. But, you know, that'll come when it's safe for everybody to get back together in person. It'll happen. It has to. But the important thing is we keep it safe for as long as we can. So I'm perfectly fine doing this, kind of giving people an alternative for something to do that makes it feel maybe a little bit like they're getting together with friends in person, an alternative for, you know, going out to the bars and standing elbow to elbow with people when it may not be perfectly safe to do so.
Right. And, you know, you talked a lot about how the process is kind of, you know, bringing people back together, you know, feeling like they're actually doing something. So when you're online playing from the player's perspective, how does it work? Do you have to sign up? Is there like a special channel you go to?
Yeah, you don't really have to. There's no real registration. You do have to, if you're playing for the first time, you just have to get a sign up for a team name, which is no big deal. You fill out a form just like you're playing. And then after that, you're good to go, really. It's basically just like a regular trivia event. You have online answer sheets instead of paper sheets. So we're saving trees, too. And you know, you see me on the screen, unfortunately for you. But you also see the questions, just like they're presented at a trivia night. You see the slideshow. You'll see all the answers. I try to keep it as much like a regular trivia night as usual. What people are used to. And then it normally takes about 90 minutes to get through everything, which is about the same as it would be at a live show. So it's about as close as you can get to the real experience without actually being with your friends. They can connect with Google Hangouts, Zoom, Discord, any of the other, you know, connection tools that they have, and then play along. One person can connect to my game, which is on Twitch, twitch.tv/trivia workshop. And they can share their screen with their friends and everybody just plays along just like they're all together.
That sounds really fun. How often are you hosting these trivia nights?
I'm hosting one tonight, actually. They're every Tuesday night at 8 o'clock p.m. Central. We are moving those to Friday nights in May. So after April, we'll move the games to May on Fridays at 8 p.m.
Ooh, that sounds really good. You know, give us something to do on a Friday night. We're all, you know, it's right. Getting warm outside. We're looking for a reason to sit around and try to outsmart each other.
That's right. And we have teams who will set up a screen outdoors and sit out on the patio and play the game with their friends outdoors. So they're all nice and separated. And just hang out with beers on a, you know, Friday night and play along, just kind of like they're at an outdoor picnic. And they send me pictures as they're playing with a fire going and me, my big head on the screen. So it's fun to see people having a good time safely.
I love that. I love that. I'm going to have to get some friends together and we're going to have to play. I have competitive friends, so this might be the perfect alternative.
Exactly. See? Get those competitive juices flowing.
Exactly. So is there any specific category that's your favorite or you like to ask questions about?
Definitely. Well, my favorite to play would be music. Anything music related, I'm in. Movies, TV, pop culture stuff is kind of my wheelhouse. I'll play anything, but definitely the pop culture stuff is more fun for me to play. History, geography, those are fine too. But I'll let somebody else at the table handle those things when they come up.
Yeah, I think I'm the same way. Like I said earlier, during that event where we did trivia at UIS, all the geography and history questions, I'm like, can't really help you guys. But if it's about theater or music, I can pretty much find my way.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, entertainment categories are supposed to kind of evoke the feeling that you had when you were watching the movie or when you were listening to the music and when you were watching the TV show or whatever it may be. So maybe that's kind of why those seem more fun to me. Maybe somebody was having a good time when they learned something about history. I don't know, but I certainly didn't. So I'll stick with the entertainment stuff.
Yep, I'm the same way. And I don't know, just thinking about things, like we said, we're not big history or maybe geography buffs, but if there's anybody out there that's looking to learn more, just in general, what's a good way to just, you know, immerse yourself so you'll be able to actually do well in trivia?
Great, great question. You know, obviously watching Jeopardy is fine, but if you notice, you only get about 60 questions on Jeopardy on any given night. So that's fine. And not all the questions, you know, you're going to only really learn something probably from about half of those. What you want to do is just, I know people will say Wikipedia is not a great resource for learning, but it can spark learning and curiosity. If you just go on Wikipedia and hit random links, actually you can go on Wikipedia and click on random subject and it'll take you on a tour of Wikipedia. And you just pick little things up and it really sparks your mind to learn new things. Also play as much trivia as you can because you'll learn something new every time you play, especially these pub quiz style events online. If you play a lot of them, you'll notice the same things come up over and over again. So it's a good learning experience. Just play. Obviously it's just muscle memory, really. Your brain is the same as a muscle. The more you use it, the better it gets. So just keep using your brain. Never lose your curiosity, I guess. Never stop. You don't have to stop learning just because you're out of school. Really, I'm old, but I try to learn new things every day. And writing trivia also helps. So if you want to get better at knowing trivia, it's a pretty good idea to start writing trivia. Kind of think of things you think might make good subjects for a trivia question or a trivia category, and try your hand at writing the questions, because then it really takes you down another path, because you have to start thinking about connections in trivia, connections in knowledge. The best trivia questions have more than one route to the answer. So even if you don't know the answer directly, you should have a clue in the question to get you there. So the best, if you get good at writing trivia, it kind of helps you pick up things along the way that help you play trivia well.
I think that's really good advice, really great advice. And I can attest to that. I feel like every time a trivia question pops up, my parents may know like the surrounding area or something that relates to it, but not quite the right answer. But right. I think that's how they learn, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And the more you hear, the more you're able to kind of focus that. And eventually, if you hear not just the question, not just the facts, but if you build up those facts into a story, you're able to kind of nail down those answers that maybe you missed in the past. I find that if I miss a question once or twice, chances are I'm going to remember it the next time I hear it. So you kind of narrow down your field of knowledge to the right answers eventually.
That's a great note. And on that note, if anybody is looking to maybe get into trivia, you know, come to some trivia nights or just keep up to date with when you're going to do your next in-person event. I know you don't want to, but, you know.
I do want to. It'll happen eventually. Yes. You can always go to triviaworkshop.com, which is kind of the main source. Right now, it kind of just points to the online game. But we are also on Facebook. Just look for Trivia Workshop on Facebook. Also, if you want to keep up with the online, or the, not just online, but the in-person fundraisers, there's also IllinoisTrivia.com, which keeps track of those. You know, for the last year, it's been kind of empty, but hopefully, eventually, we'll start getting more content on there soon. You know, just look for Trivia Workshop on Facebook, and we'll point you in the right direction for any upcoming events.
Awesome. And is there anything else you'd like to add today as we wrap up?
Just thanks for having me, and I really appreciate what you're doing here. It's kind of nice to see what people are doing around the community. So yeah, keep up the good work.
Yep, we will definitely do it. And thank you for joining me. I have always been really curious about trivia, and I was so glad I got to take part in the trivia event we had here. So I'm like, you know what? I have to talk to Russ and find out, you know, more about trivia, because, you know, I don't know that much. So.
Well, you're welcome to come by anytime. Play whenever you like.
You're listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS. Keep listening.